Welcome to the Working Hands Podcast. I'm Tony of Woodland Iron, joined by Keith of Blackthorn Concepts. And tonight we have Austin of High Caliber Craftsman. Holy shit.
Close.
High Caliber Craftsman Builds.
Oh, wow.
There we go.
This is what you get for being a friend. We forget your name.
Some friends, right? For, hey, how about this? I sit down, he's like, there's Fathead. Like, yeah, that's what I want to hear as soon as I get on the mic.
Exactly what you want. How yeah. are you, Austin?
Good, man. Good. Good to see you guys.
Good, good. Like all episodes, we're going to start this one off by thanking our sponsors. I'll take the time to thank Sabretooth. If you go to sabretooth.com, you can use code WH and save 10% off all your power carving needs. I use them. You should too.
And I'll take a moment to thank our other sponsor, Maritime Knife Supply, your one-stop shop for makers, your home for abrasives, steel, tools, and more. Save on shipping by getting everything from one supplier. You find him at maritimeknifesupply.com and .ca.
And our newest sponsor, Chapman. If you go over to Chapman Manufacturing, you can pick yourself up a beautiful screwdriver set with all the different bits and everything you need in one handy case. Proudly made here in the U.S. of A. So what is going on, Austin?
Oh, you know, just making videos, man.
Influencing?
Influencing it up.
Trolling the trolls.
Feeding the trolls. Reeling them, trying to reel them in, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's the goal for this year.
Evaporust is doing it nowadays, right?
I had no idea Evaporust was so controversial. That was like, I'm just going to do this real quick. And then I checked my phone a little bit later and it was like on fire, like literally drained almost all my phone's battery from vibrating. And I'm like, what's going on? And I'm like, there's no way this is the Evaporust post. And apparently people don't like it when you dip your hand in there.
Man, which is weird.
I'm like, that's literally the cleanest thing I've put my hand in all day.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think it would be so controversial. I guess because people don't know what it is, so they don't.
I guess everybody assumes toxic, right? You know? And I've got some really good I've got some of the comments. There was like people threatening to like, you know, kill each other. I'm like, what? This is like unbelievable confrontation over some rust remover. But it's pretty wild. I don't know if everybody was like trapped from Christmas to New Year's, like with their families and stuff. And they're like just lashing out at anybody they can now.
Freedom.
I mean, I'll go on yours and Chris's or somebody who has a viral post that I know is talking about their different comments to read them. I generally don't read other posts' comments.
Right.
Every now and then that one that Instagram will now do where they'll like pop one up during a reel. I'll read that one sometimes.
Right. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I think once it gets past a certain layer and you get into like the, like, you know, like the first 100,000 views, you're in like maker world. And then the next like 400,000 views, you're starting to drift out into like normal people. And then when you hit a million, that's when it's like all the fucking weirdos are out. Then it's just like they just see all those posts. And I've noticed over like the last 6 months, more and more of my demographic is 18 to 24. And that's when I've been getting more and more dumbass comments. So I'm not saying it's just 18 to 24 year olds, but it seems like my comments have been dumbed down quite a bit in the last 6 months.
I could see that.
Yeah. My favorite one from tonight was some guy was like, you touch your wife with those hands? And I said, I touch everybody's wives with these hands. He wrote back, touche.
You have more fun with the comebacks or with the actual posts?
Oh, the comebacks, man, for sure. Or like if I can find the perfect GIF, that is like my dream. When I'm like, this one is the money. Like that's that's like my favorite thing if I can find the perfect one. But, you know, sometimes they're hard to find. But I've been enjoying coming back and, you know, just messing with people. And I think so many people have messaged me. They're like, came here for the video, stayed for the smartass attitude. You know, like, so a lot of people are down for it.
Yeah,
that's good.
I would probably get kicked off of Instagram if I had those type of comments on my reels, because I can't handle stupid. So
right, Yeah, I try to spin it into, like, let's at least make it, let's spin it to funny instead of just stupidity, right? So, like, let's try to get some funny content out of it. So if people go to my page and they start reading the, go to the ones with the big numbers and then start reading comments. That's where the gold is.
I got other stuff to do. I mean, I'll put that on my list of things to do, but it's going to be like 3 pages back.
It's good, like, bathroom material.
I think it's funny. Like, if I comment on something, how many likes one of my comments will get? Like, I commented on Dies in Every Film reel this week, that thing he made with the
mask.
Yeah, with the two spikes for the eyes.
Yeah.
And the amount of likes you get on it, it's like, what? All you guys are reading these things? Like, and then you, I don't know.
Yeah. So the top comment on my Evaporust reel has 1,000 something likes or whatever, the guy. And I guess the guy, and tons of replies. And finally, I guess the guy had it and snapped, and he replied to like 20 people tonight. It was just like, my phone was just blowing up, like, in a row, like, boom, 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 right back to back. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And it's that one guy, like, defending himself to like 50 people. So
that's the risk you run. Engagement, right?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I'll take it. Yeah. I actually got Tony engaging on one of my posts today after I talked shit about him not commenting on my stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one where you had the glove on and then went past the glove.
Right.
And then, yeah, that one was, that was kind of interesting, where that one got, like, last time I checked, it had like 25 likes for like a thank goodness you had that glove on or whatever, something right. stupid like that. And it's like, oh man, it is kind of surprising that, like, I would, like, I watched the video or the reel or whatever, but I very seldom dig into the comments.
Yeah. You know, that one, as soon as because, like, if people are coming at me and being dumbasses, I'm coming back. Like, I'm going to go harder, you know? So that's when I was like, well, let's just get the glove on and then just go, like, way past the glove. Like, so the glove is useless at that, like, that's a actual Evaporust container now is the glove.
Well, yeah, you didn't just, like, slowly dip your hand. You were just, like, slap the top of the thing, and the Evaporust is going everywhere. It's like, oh, God.
Oh, yeah. And that's what my dad, he's like, you need to get one of those, like, the cattle insemination gloves, like the real big one. And he's like, and get a huge tub of Evaporust and then go all the way past that one. like, you know, like a 55-gallon barrel.
Well, yeah, you pull your arm back out and the gloves peeled off because it filled full of Evaporust.
You know what you should do, and because it's bad, you should probably empty it out first, but then take that empty jug of Evaporust, right, and fill it with water. And just go over and be like, oh, and start washing your face with it. You're like, there's nothing better than rejuvenating your skin with some Evaporust.
At the end of the day, get a nice wash off. Yeah, apparently, so all these people have been diving into the material safety data sheet and emailing it, or like DMing it to me, like, I don't know that it's safe. And apparently it's even safe in your eyes. And so the one guy commented, he's like, yeah, Evaporust is safe for hands, skin, everything, even in your eyes. And I wrote him back and I said, I know what I have to do, but I don't know if I have the strength to do it.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's been my week, is just messing with trolls.
Yeah.
And I'm doing 2 videos a day, which this was my first full week of doing 2 videos a day. And that's a hustle, man. That's a hustle to get 2 videos a day.
I've started 24 trying to do 1 video a day, and that's a hustle enough.
Yeah. Well, you got a real job.
Or 1 post a day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I didn't have a job, I could easily do 2 a day.
Yeah, right.
It wouldn't be that hard.
Yeah. Piece of cake. No problem. Yeah. Tony, what's your record for this year? One a month? I feel like I've seen one from you this month.
This month? No. I think if anything, the only thing I put out has been like reshares. Something I'm tagged in, I'll share it. That's about it lately. But things are about to get better in that department, I think, because I'm going to start to actually start my Make What You Fear like before the weekend that I'm supposed to have it done, because it's too big a project. I can't do it in a weekend. So
it's almost like people set it up that way where you couldn't do it in just a weekend.
Yeah.
I wonder who created this challenge to do that to yourself.
I kind of shot myself in the foot. Yeah. Yeah, no, we'll see. I was actually looking at the, I got to build something to get this done. So I'm looking at building a router sled to flatten a big slab. So
that's easy to do.
Yeah, they don't look too difficult to do.
They're a pain in the butt, but it's nothing taxing.
Yeah, I think it's more tedious than anything. But then I was looking at like you can buy them, but then it's like, I don't know, $200-$300 by the time. And I'm going to use it once, maybe twice, because I got a mantelpiece that once Lil found out that I was going to.
What are you doing? Are you
I'm going to do.
About it yet?
I don't think I've said any. We talked about it, but I didn't.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah. So I'm going to do the birch table, that the birch cookie that I have in the basement here. It's like 44 inches one way, and I forget, it was like 30 some inches the other. So it's a pretty hefty slab of yellow birch. And yeah, it's got some little, like it was just cut on a bandsaw mill. So it's pretty good, but it's not what you want for a tabletop. So I just got to smooth it out. But,
is it end grain or like a traditional slab?
Like
is it a cookie? Like you
it's a cookie. Okay. It's a cookie. It's not like a long slab. It's it's just a cookie. It's like bark the whole way around it. Just,
okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's that'll be a good project. It'll be an interesting project. It'll help me get my wood shop built down here. So down in my basement, that's where it'll be done. So
that's cool.
Building a wood shop. Good luck.
So I gotta build that, and then I gotta buy a router and a bit big enough to do this. So it's gonna have a few bucks into it. But that was one of the things I was looking at, was you can buy the sleds and everything that are all, you know, basically just bolt it together and away you go. But for one go, it's not gonna.
You don't have anyone near you that has one?
I don't know if
like Nick, I loaned mine out recently from over to Tom McGuire.
Yeah, I don't know. I might reach out to Nick from NB Woodfinder. I don't know if he's got one or not, but because I think he does most of his stuff with he's got one of the big belt sanders, so I think he might do most of his stuff that way.
Yeah. They're so easy to make, anyways. I mean, yeah, you can knock it out in an hour and get something functional.
Yeah, yeah, it shouldn't be. Yeah, and it doesn't have to be perfect either. I can make it. I can make whatever work.
You gonna leave the bark on this table or pull it off?
You doing it, you know.
Easy now. I will be peeling the bark off of it, because the cookie is like two or three trees that grew together, so there's bark in the center. So I think it would actually look cool to have that knocked out and have a little opening. There's a couple little openings that will create if that bark's gone. So maybe not the greatest thing for a table, but it's a living room table. It's not like a
dining room table.
Yeah. It's got to hold books and stuff and not fall over on dogs.
You sure you want to build it then?
Easy. So we'll see.
How are you gonna make the base? It's going to be steel or?
Yeah, I was thinking hairpin legs or something along that line. It's probably.
Are you going to forge them or just buy them?
I'm going to buy them, to be honest, like for the price of them and what it would take for me to. Now. What's that?
I think you can get them for a coffee table for like $18 on Amazon.
Yeah. So,
I mean, in Canadian, that's like $250, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, for me to go get the steel and like just the time and effort put into it when it's, you know, $20 or $25 a leg, it doesn't really make sense. And it'll be the same quality as I'll probably build anyway. So
yeah, very cool. Austin, you doing make what you fear?
Yeah, I'm going to, I think, but I have not thought about what I'm going to do at all.
Time's a ticking. There's already a week gone.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. What do we got? 3 months?
Less than that now.
Okay. So I got a month.
Two months, three weeks to
make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing yet. I have an idea, so I may do that.
Thanks for all the detail.
Yeah, it's helpful.
Have you got a sense from your crowd yet about like Are people excited for it?
I think so. We've had a few people already start. Emmett, as you know, is almost done.
Of course.
As this airs, I'm sure we'll see the final reel by then.
Yeah.
There's a couple other people who've started already or bought their items. A couple of people have reached out for clarity on what it is. So, yeah, I would say there's already from talking to people I know about 10 or 15 already that have committed to, yeah, I'm doing it, you know, not like right. you, but like, yeah, I'm going to do it type thing. Not, uh-huh. oh, I'm thinking about it. So, yeah, I think it should be a pretty good turnout this year.
That's great.
What about you, Tony? You heard much on your end?
What did I have? The post came out tonight from David at DW Wood Builds. His project looks like sushi trays and glass. That could be interesting. And then Jake Largan. Was it
Metal Chef Customs?
Metal Chef Customs. I was going to say Metal Shop Customs, but that's not right. He's got a project that he's talking about too. So he was reaching out for some clarity as well. So I think he'll be
the overall maker is doing lapidary.
What is lapidary? That's like stones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
like jewelry stones.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not hip with all the terminology.
Cabochon, as they say.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
I was definitely going to butcher that if I tried to say what because I could not remember what the word was.
Most people just call them cabs now to shorten it up.
Yeah.
As he said, cabochon, he had his pinky in the air.
Cabochon.
Cabochon.
Yeah. You know me. Bougie AF.
Fancy.
So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what mine's actually going to be because I may have just made mine real easy. The project I'm going to do, so I may have to change it up, find something better for Make What You Fear. We'll see. We shall see.
It's really hard to talk about it when you're being so vague.
Well, the one...
He's
the
good thing, like that.
Yeah, no, I'm like, all right, where are we going?
The one thing I want to do is kind of easy. I mean, it may be easy. I don't know. I have to try it first. But I just simplified it, and I don't want to talk about it because I may want to sell the items.
Okay.
And if it's as easy as I think it's going to be, then anyone can make it, and it's going to be quick and easy. So I don't want to talk about it yet.
Gotcha.
That's the only idea I have, so I can't even be like, well, my other idea is, because I don't have one yet. So I thought I'm about thinking, building a welding cart, but I don't think that's Make What You Fear-ish. So.
Yeah, so it's got to be something you failed on or something you haven't done, or material, which is tough because I do so much weird stuff.
Yeah. Same thing with me, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah, like metal. We can only use the material one so long before people have, you know, pretty much attempted everything out there.
Yeah.
And I feel like as makers, we attempt things just to attempt it, you know, just to see, oh, let me try leather working because I want to see if I can do it, you know, or right. glass work or welding or.
And there's so many, like say you wanted to spin pottery, like that, that's a huge, like, there's a lot of equipment you have to have and things like that. So like you're limited on what is feasible, you know?
Yeah. I wanted to try getting into metal turning, like on a metal lathe, but somebody held back on parts for me. So
here we go. Here we go.
Here comes shade.
I haven't gotten the metal lathe up and running yet. And probably won't see those parts until after Make What You Fear now. So.
Unless you're driving down to Virginia, I don't think you're going to see me there. Yeah, I was thinking about dipping into like doing some casting, you know, because I have a furnace. I've lined it, I've never fired it up. So just...
Oh, mine's still in the box. I've never gotten further than buying it.
I have everything. I've got the sand, I've got the crucibles. I need to make some like crucible tongs and stuff, but I just haven't gotten into it yet.
You do 3D printing. Does your 3D printer have the capability of pouring like the lost wax stuff?
I think so. I don't know anything about that though. I think it's just regular PLA. Maybe I'm wrong, but
like, I mean, I guess you could 3D print it, jam it into the sand anyway.
Right. That was my plan.
Like you would with any other mold. Yeah.
Yeah. Two just halves.
Make a pattern. Yeah. The beauty What's part cool... of the good.
Go. Go.
Go. The beauty part of the 3D printer is you can just, you can use the slice. So you can bring in whatever file you want and then just use the slicer to just cut it right down the middle to make two flats. And you can punch in a couple, you know, dowels or whatever to, for alignment.
Yeah. So. You could also 3D print in your draft lines out the bottom, like to come back up. So when you pour in one hole, it goes out the other side. You just 3D print that in.
That's a good idea. Your sprues.
What's it called?
Sprue.
Sprue. Yeah.
I've never done it. I've never even messed with it. So I my knowledge is literally YouTube University.
Yeah, we actually did it when I was in college, but it was more like, here's how you do it, and we're going to do it with you. So we made our own thing, and then there's a whole group of people walking you through it. So, like, I know the process. I've done the process, but could I do it on my own? Probably not.
Right. There's a lot of stuff that are a lot of gotchas around that. Like, you have to be careful about how moisture, like, your crucible can't have moisture. I forgot what they're called. But like the graphite where you dump the extra in or whatever, like nothing can have moisture because moisture makes it explode, or, you know, steam off or whatever it's called. So
you might as well call it an explosion.
I mean, it is, it's a steam explosion. Right. So, but I, my first thing that I was like, I'd like to do a belt buckle. And then I saw that HT1 was doing a bunch of those maker belt buckles.
Yeah,
and I was like, well, shit, because my belt buckle is going to have my Anvil logo on it. I was like, well, I'm not going to do that now because it's like somebody just did something similar. But I don't know. I've been thinking about this one thing that's a, you know what a drill index, like the old drill indexes look like the circle with multiple tiers where all the drills kind of like a spiral. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about making something like that that actually bolts around the drill press column. And then there's like a little table and a spot for like cutting fluid or whatever. That would be a cool thing to cast.
That would be
big.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be.
Good luck.
Well, you could cast the index as one and the other one, and then it would bolt through the bottom, you know, to like the table or whatever.
And you're lucky that you have the milling machine, so you could cast it and then mill it so it mates up to the next one.
Make it clean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a big commitment to like, that's a lot of learning, a lot of extra stuff to do. So I don't know if I want to say for sure that's what I'm going to do, but I think it'd be cool.
I think it would be cool.
Yeah, it would.
Man, there's so many different things out there. Maybe I'll have to look into something completely new and try it. I don't know what I haven't done before though.
Yeah, we did casting in, I think it was like middle school, but it was like the bullet casting.
So you melt
a little bit of lead with the handheld mold that would just like a set of pliers kind of thing, but at the end of it was a mold.
How Canada has changed.
I forget what we made them for. It was
bears, obviously.
No, they weren't to be used as bullets, but they were bullets, basically. They were like a muzzle loader bullet, but I can't remember. We didn't make them for necklaces or anything because we actually did use lead. Like it was not something you wanted on your skin. So I can't remember what we did with them now.
To keep the French in Quebec?
Yeah, maybe.
Oui.
Oui.
Si.
So what have you guys been up to? What have you been up to this week, Tony?
Just started on the new shift. So that's... been interesting, a lot of different personalities to deal with now, so it seems like a good crew.
Yeah. Oh, you change out crews every time you change shifts, huh?
Yeah, so when I'm going from, we have four shifts and we just label them A, B, C, and D. I used to be on the D shift and now I moved to C, which is they're half a shift ahead of the shift I was on. So the guys I used to work with are going in the morning and I've worked the weekend and I'll work the nights when they're on days. So now I'm dealing with the guys that are on C shift. We're not dealing with, that's a bad way to put it. I'm working with the guys that are on C shift and, it'll be interesting. A lot of good guys. So I don't really see much issue with the change of shifts. So, but it's always kind of stressful because you're worried what's this going to be like and are they going to like me?
Yeah, no doubt.
So,
I never worry about if they're going to like me, Tony.
Yeah. Trouble is with shift work like this, it's I just changed my family. It's kind of funny how it is, but it's kind of that way because we spend more time as a group together than you do with your family because you're 12 hours a day together. So it kind of, and then when I'm off, my family's off doing stuff. So I don't, they're not with me the whole time. So the crew you're with for, you know, 48 or 60 hours a shift, it turns into a family pretty quick. You can get angry at each other, scream and yell at each other. But for the most part, it's like a family and you just kind of keep it together.
What was the driving force for the change of shift?
I was asked. There was really nothing for me. I was asked by the shift manager of C shift to come over. So, he's given me an opportunity to go back to my old area, old job, so that I'll be back on the console, running some stuff. So it'll be a little bit more taxing on the brain. So it'll be a good challenge. I kind of missed that job. That was always a fun job to do. It was nice to have a change of pace, like you would do the outside job, which I'm doing now, and then you go up to the panel, as we call it, and it's a whole nother set of challenges. So it kind of keeps things a little fresher, a little right. bit more, kind of works better for my brain. I like having a different challenge on every day, kind of thing.
Nice, very nice.
Yeah, so it'll be good.
I got a funny story for you.
Uh-oh.
So you know how I've had this pizza peel project that I keep putting off. So I decided, screw it, I'm just going to finish it and get it done and deliver it. So today was the day I decided to deliver it. So Austin, you know, I was working on it last night.
Mm-hmm.
I put the finish on. Everything came out perfect. Like, I was pretty happy with it. I thought it looked good. I got to deliver it today to the client. And when she had asked me for it, she's like, oh, can you make a pizza peel? We bought a big pizza oven and all the pizza peels that we're finding are too small. I said, sure. What size do you want the pizza peel? She's like, I don't know. I said, okay, how big's the opening? She said, 17 inches. So why don't you make it 16 inches? I said, no problem. I made it 16 inches. Doesn't fit.
Oh, no.
I get all the way there today and they have a really nice like pizza oven, like outdoor fireplace, all that. I was like, oh, let me go do a reel over there at the pizza oven. We open it up. I go to put it in. Ding! It's the two sides of the pizza oven.
Oh, no.
I was like, I thought you told me this thing was 16 inches or 17 inches. And what happened was when she ordered it, she ordered the pizza oven and then said, oh, I want a pizza peel. Can you make me one? I said, sure. So she was going off of the booklet online. The opening, the door opening is 17 inches, but it's got like this little metal lip that goes around on the inside. So you can't push the door in too far because it's just like a handheld door. It's not hinged or anything.
Right.
And that makes it the opening too small. They don't list the opening size on the website. So now
so you just grab a jigsaw and rip down the sides. Here you go.
I may just make a whole new one because, you know, I have it all curved on the edges. Now it's going to change the curves, going to change mm-hmm. the look.
Mm.
The proportions will be off. So now I got to make a new one, which is whatever, you know.
I'm sure you can find a buyer for the 16, though.
Maybe.
That's a big peel.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I think 4.5 foot long or something, which is what they wanted to. Because I was over there. They were using the smaller peels one day, and I was there. I never even thought to measure it, but I grabbed the little peel and went over to the oven, and it was hot. Like, it was hot on your hand. Like they weren't long enough to get far enough away from the fire coming out of it, or the heat coming out of it. Sorry.
Right,
but
right.
I laughed so hard when the thing didn't fit because I knew I checked that text message like 1,000 times. And then I checked the measurements on the pizza peel like 1,000 times because I'm like, if I'm off, I'm going to look like the jerk, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And what's funny is it didn't fit and I start laughing. And she goes, you know what's funny is I just got my dad for Christmas a sign that says measure once, cut twice. I thought that was funny.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Yeah, before you said that she got the measurements off the website, I was going to be like, her husband's the one who taught her to use a measuring tape. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
That's cool. That thing looks great, though. That sucks that it didn't fit, man. It was all walnut.
Yeah, all walnut. And they loved it. They thought it was great. But, you know, what can you do when it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit.
Right.
And she's like, you want me to keep it and try and sell? I was like, it's fine. So I think I'm going to make another one.
I was going to say, I wonder if you rip it down the middle. Of course, it's got the big handle on it, so that would be a pain.
So I made it the handle's one long piece. It goes right to the end of the peel.
Right.
So it goes through the peel part. That's all one piece of wood.
Right.
So I can't really rip it down the center.
Yeah, that's a pain. It's probably easier just to make a new one.
Yeah, because otherwise then I got to re-edge all the corners and then I have to re-bevel it. But I bevel it on the 2x72s. It's really not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
I do it all freehand. So I guess I could do it again. I'm not sure. But I'd rather just make a whole new one.
Next one you're going to do, are you going to do the same thing, all walnut?
Yeah, but it won't be the same. I don't like making the same thing twice.
Right.
So I guess walnut again. I don't know. I haven't decided. I don't know what wood other than like a maple is really good for pizza peels.
I was going to say, I think a maple would probably be the best choice just because it's hard to rock, you know, so it's not going to get beat up as easy.
And the pizzerias, we said, I think they were maple ones. So I'll see what I make it out of. I don't know. Probably walnut again. Now that they've seen it, that's what they want. Like they had just said, oh, make me a pizza peel. They didn't care what it was, but I wanted to make a nice one. So I made it out a solid walnut. And this is where I'm at. So,
right.
I'm just happy it wasn't me.
Yeah, no doubt. It always sucks, but it really sucks when you deliver to a client and then it's like you make a horse's ass out of yourself. That's the worst. That's absolutely the worst.
Well, I laughed right in her face too. I felt terrible. But one, it was part anger. But then I'm like, I know this wasn't me.
Right.
And then she started explaining to me. She's like, oh, no, because she was pissed off too, you know? She's like, oh, no, I know what happened. I had texted you before I had it and I went off the website. I was like, all right, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
As long as you're not going to cry about it. I'm not going to cry about it.
But maybe don't go to the max dimension either. Like, give yourself a little room. Yeah.
It would have been like 16 and a half is what we thought. So then I went a half inch under that. And I don't know if that worked. Tony, are you back yet? Or is your computer still screwy? Your sound is off. So, yeah, now you're on.
I can hear you. Well, now it's on. Sounds like it's on my mic. But I can hear you guys through my speakers, not through my headpiece. And I can't. It won't let me change.
Just take the headphones off.
You sound good, so there's no echo.
And you're not getting an echo? Yeah. All right.
No. The Zencaster is killing everyone lately. I feel like everyone's having trouble with it.
This isn't the Zencaster issue. This was the computer actually crashed. Like, I saw pink dots on the screen, and then went, dunk, done.
Did you have your juice noodle plugged in?
Yeah, there's no battery on this. It's not a laptop. It's a desktop.
Oh, oh. Yeah, I am in the new laser laboratory, the Drennan Dumbatorium, as some people call it.
Right.
And I have like track lighting up, like it's coming down at the sign behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we're done here, I'm fixing that because every time I like lean back, it's like right in my eyes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your whole
face. Fine when I'm at the laser, but now that I'm sitting back away from the computer, oh, it's the worst.
Yep. I understand that. I use a ring light right in front of me. So if I look over top of the computer, I'm blind for like 3 seconds.
Oh, yeah. We don't do video on ours. Do you do video on Making Our Way?
No.
Yeah. Nobody wants to see this beautiful face of mine.
Well, on ours, it's just constant direction. So you would just see this, like people pointing that aren't talking because we're throwing it to the next person and we're doing all kinds of hand signals. It would look really weird. You have to set it up beforehand so everybody's in the same location. Otherwise, when you point, nobody knows where you're going.
So what do you use, Zoom?
Yeah.
So you can move everyone around?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't like Zoom for podcasting. I find it too. It's only one track that comes out of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Not anymore. It's all individual tracks.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, they've changed everything to make it more usable for podcast.
Very good.
The one good thing is it has a lot of background filtering already built in. But the bad thing is it prioritizes voice. It's a lot of times the quality of the footage is bad.
Well, that's what you want, right?
Wait, for a podcast. Actually, maybe it prioritizes. Can't, I don't remember. Whatever. It does something video? Stupid. Video. Yeah. So we lose Christy a lot because she has shit on internet.
That's Missouri for you.
Yep.
Middle America. Yeah. Man, my eyes are killing me now. Before we get to the Patreons, Tony, we should probably mention Make What You Fear again. Advertise that a bit.
Yep, we can.
I don't know if you froze there.
Honestly, it's kind of weird not having the headset now. So it's a little off-putting. Because now I can't hear my own voice, which is weird. Because that used to be a weird thing before where hearing my own voice would throw me off. Now not hearing it is throwing me off.
Yeah, that happened to my Xbox headset. All of a sudden it cut out where I couldn't hear myself. And then now it's all weird.
Yeah, it's different. So as far as Make What You Fear, we'll go through. It's my own concept, and I keep dropping the ball on it.
Make What You Fear is a challenge that the Working Hands Podcast puts on.
Yeah, maybe talk about the, you know, because people are messaging you for clarity. Go over what your answers were for them, because I'm sure there's other people that have that same question, you know?
For a lot of people, it was just kind of just, they would just ask if their project was something, or if like they'd say, hey, it's similar to something I've done, but the material's changed, or, you know, that stuff.
Can you specifically name some people that have shitty projects that you told them not to do?
No, I don't have anybody.
I can name one that Tony told that to.
What's that? Oh, no, actually, I got to reach out to him. I actually got thinking about that one, and I think it's a valid project, because now that I think...
He told me, I was like, so you're already getting going on your Make What You Fear projects? He goes, no, Tony told me I can't enter it. And I was like, what do you mean he told you can't enter it? And he goes, well, he didn't really say don't enter it, but I was asking him if he thought that was a good one. And he's like, well, I don't know. And he was like hemming and hawing. He didn't really want to tell me no, but I could tell it was a Canadian no.
Well, that case was so.
And I was like, man, you should just do what you're doing. And we'll see if it works out, because you're doing it anyway.
Yeah. So that one was, I just woke up. Opened up Clubhouse for some reason. I thought that would be a good idea. And then started getting questions about Make What You Fear. And I was like, oh, fuck. So, yeah.
Is that who you were talking about?
Yes. Because I gave him the, what did I say? You're pushing it, is what I said. Not in a mean way, like, you know, telling somebody to back off because they want to fight you or something. No, and then I got thinking
I was thinking about it, and I get where you're coming from. Like, oh yeah, a lot of people have done that before, but it's pretty ambitious what he's doing.
It's ambitious, and then it's also not like he didn't build. As best I know, he didn't build his own shop, so he's building the addition part or the internal addition that he wants to do himself, which is not, you know, not his forte, I guess I would say.
What I told him was, he's got to sell it in the post, in his story.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest part of it. Like the
story behind it, not in your story.
Yeah, the story behind it is, like, honestly, I think you can sway me as far, I don't know if you can sway Keith, but as far as judges go. But if you hit the story right, I think that weighs more than the actual project. So that's why it kind of allows everybody, you know, maybe your skill level's not at the highest end where the end project would be like this beautiful thing, that if you have a good story behind it as to why you were doing what you're doing, I think that's got a lot more merit to it than maybe the end project.
And like, before you finish it, make sure you put in a custom urinal. That's what I've learned from the podcast is custom urinals do well.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
well, just as long as it's not a funnel through the wall. That's been done before.
Who has the funnel?
Oh, a guy I work with did that on a garage that he had. He just drilled a hole and put a funnel in the wall.
Dude, not a bad idea.
It's not terrible.
I think Leo had that over there at Royal Street. Yeah,
he's in like a very not commercial but more residential area in the city, and it's like
probably, I mean, you can't really go outside to pee.
Yeah, but also he's probably peeing on his neighbor's driveway. So
it's fine. You just have to dump some water down it after you go, you know?
Just throw some Evaporust in there.
Yeah. 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 I heard that was antiseptic or, you know.
You can use it in your eyes, just like urine.
It burns. So we haven't mentioned it yet this episode. Make what you fear is this year is to challenge yourself. So whether it's a new process you've never done, a new material that you've never used, or revisiting a project that you failed at. Those are the parameters. You need to do 5 posts. You need to tag us. And I can't stress this enough. You have to tag Working Hands Podcast, not just in the caption. Use the tag feature in Instagram for 5 posts in order to win.
Yeah.
We're going to those parameters. There is a hashtag, but it is hashtag MWYF2024. Man, that's hard to spell out. Thinking about it. Typing it's easy. Make what you fear 2024. But yeah, that's the hashtag. But we had some issues with the hashtag. So now we're saying just tag us. That way we know that you deliberately want to be on the Working Hands Podcast. Make what you fear project.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing. Like we've seen with other podcasts and other, you know, creators that have had hashtags that they're not reliable anymore. The @ is the only thing that seems to be reliable. So. Yeah,
we had the same thing with our ornament swap. The hashtag was failing us.
So we want to do the we want you to hashtag it in the post so we know why you tagged us, but you have to tag us in it so we can track it, and then people can go to our page, go to that tag thing, and see all the other things in there.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
The hashtags being what's that like they don't show you everything.
Right, so, and they're all out of order, too.
Yeah, they filter them.
Yeah, like, you remember when you were going to go to Maker Camp and you put in your pen box for the swap?
Yep.
And you used the hashtag and it didn't show up? Like that.
Right.
Like, that's not, like, I follow you, I see your post, yet it's not showing up in the hashtag. So, it's like that. This is the only way to do it. So, if you have already put out posts and you did not tag us, go back and add the tag in. You can do it in the edit feature. We're not talking about tagging us in a story. We're talking about a post, a physical out there post, whether it's a photo post, carousel, or a reel. 5 of those. We're not spending 3 months chasing down old stories.
Yeah, that would be difficult.
Yeah. So those are your rules. Get after it. Don't make a urinal.
Yeah. Have fun with it. That's the biggest thing.
Did you see Matt's counterpart, Mike, calling me out this week? He said he was going to on his podcast, and then he did the 3D printing reel.
Oh, I didn't see it.
No, I didn't see it either.
So he did a reel where he uses one of those pen 3D printers, like for kids that you have to do by hand.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And he's wearing like 3D printed glasses that he made. And he's like, what should I make next? And he's got the little 3D printer pen. And he's like, I don't know if this is skill or knowledge. And then he has written down only new friends on a piece of paper. You should check it out. It's pretty funny.
I did see that.
Yeah. Now you say it, I remember seeing it too. I think it said some new friends.
Oh, so whatever.
But it was funny. That was a good one.
And I didn't know why, but he had asked me, he's like, what is this no new friends thing? Like he was like questioning me, like, where does that come from? So I pretty much explained it to him bluntly. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he did the reel. And I was like, this guy's all right.
Yeah. Have you ever used one of those handheld 3D printer pens?
Yeah.
They're awful. They're so awful to try to use.
Yeah. But I mean, it does take a lot of skill. So it's only awful if you don't have the skill for it. As I've learned.
I threw my kid. My kids just got it for their birthday. I already threw it in the trash. I was like, we're not doing that. It's just a nightmare.
Yeah, I could see that. It seems like a gimmick gift and not a real deal situation.
I mean, that's a cool idea, but it's just way too slow. Like, if it was as fast as you could draw, that would be one thing. But, or give me one that's like a glue gun that's like that thick where you could make some real shit quick, you know? Not regular filament size.
Oh, so it's even slower than a glue gun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like creeping at it.
Oh, so all those Craft Panda videos on Facebook are bullshit?
Yeah.
Because they always show it like... Well,
maybe not, because...
They just go really quick.
It could be the heat that we regulate it to here in America versus...
They're playing the 220.
220, 221, whatever it takes.
Yeah. Nuclear power source.
Yeah. But like a glue gun would be cool if you could convert a glue gun into a PLA gun.
Have you seen the 3D printed concrete houses that they're doing? It's like a big gantry they roll over.
Yeah.
That's the size I want to lay down at once.
The 3D printed concrete though is pretty wild. I don't know. Is that long-term feasible though?
I mean, I think they're just making huts for like, you know, like the one I saw was like in Africa or like real, you know, rough climate. And they're just trying to get some kind of structures established. And they weren't big. It was like 10 by 10 structures, you know, almost like a shed.
Well, they 3D print full houses now with like rooms and everything.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that.
Yeah. It's like it's almost like a crane does it, you know, where they build a gantry around what the house would be. And then they pour it that way. Pop a roof on it and call it a day.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see. Anytime I've seen it done, it like the finish, like you can see the individual layers, so it's not like your interior finish would be, you know, you'd have to strap it and then put drywall up or whatever, or insulation and drywall.
I figured they were coming back with like a trowel and just like slicking it out like plaster, you know, like once it sets up a little bit, but maybe not.
I don't know. I've only ever watched the machine run where it's like... rolls, you know,
right?
Or beads, I guess. But yeah, I mean, it's like saying, oh, that's like when they're building a house and saying, oh, there's all these holes in between all those studs, you're gonna have to put sheetrock over, you know, like there's got to be some fit and finish to it afterwards. It's not like 3D printed and it's done.
Yeah, I get that part, but just like where it's not very smooth, like how, like if you're just gonna have to build interior walls, like I don't know that you really saved anything.
That's a problem with a shipping container, in my opinion. Like people that make houses and stuff at it. Like when I got my shipping container, I'm like, this is going to be awesome. But if you really want it to be functional, you have to build an interior structure again. So you didn't save hardly any, like you're not saving anything. And you're dealing with a space that's not optimal size. Like it's 7.5 foot and then you're going to build it any narrower. So now you have this really long, narrow workspace that sucks. So...
Yeah, I've had a few of the guys at work have talked about them, like when they were cheap, but they always talked about sheeting them inside, and I'm like, then you defeated the purpose of it. Like, yeah, it was great to get, you know, a structure there that you don't have to really do anything with, but then if you're going to finish it in the interior, like it's, you didn't save anything because it's still going to cost you the same amount in the end.
I think the best use for it is what they're for is just to put it out there for storage, right? Storage, to get all of the stuff out of your shop to make whatever shop you're in a little bigger, you know, that's not making a shop out of it.
That's my end goal for my shipping container, is to eventually build my dream shop, you know, or whatever you want to call it. And then the container would be off to the side, and that's where I'd put all raw material.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be good.
But even like steel in there, like it's going to rust up real bad because the temperature swings during the day. Unless you run a dehumidifier in there, it just turns it into a freaking rainforest in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
be a sweat lodge.
I'm at the beach too. So we have so much humidity and
salt.
Yeah. And during summertime in the morning, it's like 50 in there. And by mid afternoon, it's like 140. And then as it's cooling down, it's just sweating or whatever, the opposite.
Do you run a dehumidifier in there?
24/7. We have to. Otherwise, all the machines, like all the cast iron, will rust up.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was wondering.
Yep.
How often you waxing that stuff?
Never. Just if we notice it. Actually, somebody decided they were going to, my my friggin' Rockwell, after I redid everything, somebody left a nice icy drink on it during High Caliber Camp and left me a big old ring right in the middle of my Delta.
Come on, Grant, you're better than that.
I don't know if that was him, but it was definitely him who ran into my dad's well.
Yeah, we all watch that. As he's pulling away, he goes, "Hey, when you park over there, don't hit the well." Okay. Dink.
Yeah. Not great.
Did not go over well. Ba-dum-boom.
Ba-dums.
Oh, I forgot to mention, Make What You Fear sponsors. We should probably go over the sponsors, Tony. We have Totaboat. We have Bow Shield, T9 Bow Shield. We got Maritime Knife Supply. We have Housemade.us. And we have Maker Camp, are all current sponsors.
Yep.
Nice.
So get in on it. We are attempting to add more. We have some feelers out there, some paperwork in the works, supposedly. So once we get confirmed on some more, we will keep you updated. How about we thank those patrons, Tony?
Yeah, so we've got two new ones this week, and we'll save them for last. So we have Corey of Odyssey CNC, Christy of Twisted Twine, Annette of 513 Woodworks, Full Steam Design by Chris Powell, Lillian Archer Photography. Wow, screw up on that one.
Don't mess that one
up. I know. Lillian Archer Photography, David Beckwith Makes, NB Wood Finery. In our top tier, we have Eastpoke Studios, Danelle Smith Christian, Brian Drennan, Lawrence of MaritimeKniveSupply.com, Ed Johns of ButtJoints.com, Adam of Uncle Sam Metalworks, Brian Housewort of Workfort Podcast, Matt of Wooden Mustache, Brad of Brad's Customs, David and Joanna of Wido Works, Chad of Chad's Custom Creations, Ryan of Gnomehammer Forge, David of DW Wood Builds, Matt of First Duke Construction, Daniel and Drizzy, and Andrew of Hatch Made It. And then new this week, we have an old friend of Austin's, which is Dean DePlantis. And then we have Greg Morwitz, if I said that right. Thank you two for joining up. It's much appreciated.
Thank you all.
I couldn't find, well, Dean just goes by Dean DePlantis. He doesn't have a real handle, does he?
No,
he just goes by Dean DePlantis. And then I think it's Dean _ maybe DePlantis.
Yeah.
And then I was looking for Greg, and I couldn't find anything as far as social media. So
Greg, if you have social media, reach out. We'll let you. We'll put it out there next week.
Yeah, that list is growing. It's nice. Nice to see.
Always nice to see. If you want to get in on our Patreon, you will be entered into a monthly hammer thing from Gnome Hammer Forge. So check that out. Us and a bunch of other podcasts are in on that. So
is my forgetfulness wearing off on wearing?
What?
It's just your pause on Gnome Hammer.
Oh, I didn't know I paused. Yeah. So if you want to get on that, become a patron of ours and you will be automatically entered. So what else you got, Austin? Anything?
That's about it, man. I didn't really prepare for anything else.
I mean, we did ask you to come on like 15 minutes before showtime. So. No conspiracy theories for the after show. So where can our lovely listeners find you?
So the easiest thing to find me on is every platform on High Caliber Craftsman Builds. And then you can also find me on the Making Our Way podcast with Dean and Christy from Twisted Twine.
This is a very cool podcast, so go check them out if you haven't already. Tony, you got anything else? Are you ready to close out the show or head on over to the after show?
I think I'm good for the after show.
All right. If you want to find Tony, he's at Woodland Iron. I'm at Blackthorn Concepts. Both of us can be found at Working Hands Podcast on Instagram. Don't forget to tag us for Make What You Fear, and we'll see you guys next week.
Later.
Later.